Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, have you ever played that child's game with cards called Building a House of Cards? Now, to do that, you need to have more than one deck. One deck's a little wimpy. You can't really get a good foundation and a good tall house. You've got to have multiple decks. And for the children here, when you do that, it kind of gets mom and dad mad when you mix them all together. You know, it really doesn't make card playing easy later. But any card castle builder will tell you the most important part of building a card house is the foundation. You've got to be pretty tedious making sure the cards are right lined up and get the cards laying flat on top of them. But once you got the base set, once it's sturdy, and then the sky's the limit. You can build that baby as long as you want. As long as the base is secure, it doesn't wiggle, it doesn't shift, or it'll all collapse. It'll collapse like a house of cards. And although it can be a little disappointing, and there's most times you'll just kind of give up, but it's just cards, so who really cares? But when it comes to other things, what if it's more than cards that we're building a foundation upon? What if it's more than that? What if there's more important things at stake? For example, how about your job? Or maybe it's your finances, or your family security, or relationships with other people. What if they're built upon this foundation? Would you build? Before you answer, what if it's your hopes and dreams? What if it's your eternal salvation? Are you willing to build your eternal salvation upon that foundation? I wonder, would you? I think there's only one reason why we would take such a risk. If we knew, if we were absolutely positive that the foundation that I'm building upon is bedrock solid, there's no chance that ever it'll shift and crumble and fall apart. Otherwise, I wouldn't risk it, and neither would you. As we read through our text today, neither would the disciples, and certainly neither would Thomas. Which brings us to the gospel lesson for this morning. In the gospel lesson, we find that St. John kind of opens the door to that locked room to see kind of what's unfolding inside. Now, if you remember, earlier in the day, the women had gone to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. The angel told them, "He's not here, he's risen." And then they went straight back to the disciples and said, "But we've seen the Lord." In fact, Mary said, "I have seen the Lord." But guess what? The disciples thought it was, well, the Greek word can be translated humbug. Idle tales. It's just a bunch of poppycock. It doesn't matter. They simply would not believe them. And now, Jesus shows up. The disciples are locked in the upper room for fear of the Jews. And he shows himself to them, but Thomas isn't with them. And so when Thomas finally shows up, he says, "We have seen the Lord." But now Thomas, he doesn't believe either. In fact, he demands evidence. He says something like this: "Unless I can inspect the foundation for myself, I will not believe. I am not going to base my future upon a foundation I haven't seen." Well, actually he said, "Unless I put my fingers in his hands," you heard what he said. But he was really saying, like, does this have the foundation I can trust in? And now you might be thinking, like, these are Jesus' disciples. These men had been with him for the last 3 years. They had heard him preaching to the crowd. They had saw him healing people, changing like that small kid's meal into a feast to feed 5,000. They had seen the famous tears of compassion, but now they're skeptical. They're refusing to believe that Christ is risen from the dead. But mind you, These same men had watched Jesus be crucified at the hands of the Jews. And what would the Jews do to them if they had the opportunity? Thus the door was locked for fear of the Jews. Yes, these men were staking everything upon this foundation. They left their homes, they left their families, they left their vocations. They had literally left their life behind in order to follow Jesus, and they had watched him die upon the cross. All their hopes and all of their dreams and all of their everything came tumbling down when Christ breathed his last and died upon the cross. If you're going to rebuild their faith, you better have a foundation that nothing could ever shake, so strong it could replace their disbelief. And believe you me, these men were not just doubters who had questions. These men were outright disbelievers in Jesus Christ at this point in time. They simply could not believe it. These Nazarene men had witnessed his crucifixion and his death. They saw him buried, and they just assumed he was dead and would stay dead. How firm a foundation now do you think they needed to believe in Jesus? Well, I would say certainly a foundation strong enough to overcome that kind of disbelief and that kind of fear. I would say a faith, a foundation that was firm enough to touch and to see, that their hands could take hold of, a foundation that was solid and secure, a foundation where they could reach out and put their hands and their fingers into the nail marks in his hands and see the scar on his side. And Jesus shows up and delivers to them exactly what they needed. You see, the question in our real life world, the question for our real flesh and blood world, the question for our real sinning and dying world is this: did Jesus of Nazareth do the signs that John speaks of or not? In other words, did Jesus Christ or did he not change water into wine at the wedding feast of Canaan? Did Jesus or did he not give himself as the bread of life that gives life to the world? Did Jesus or did he not raise the corpse of Lazarus from the grave, demonstrating God's plan that death no longer has dominion, that death will never be the victor? Did he or did he not die upon the cross to wash away our guilt and to snatch away from us our sin, so that we have the liberty of dwelling in the presence of Jesus Christ forever? Did he or did he not rise on the third day, demonstrating his power over death and the grave, and the hope that each of us have for eternal life? See, that's the question. Did he or did he not do the signs that John speaks of? Is he the Messiah? Is he the foundation or not? That's the foundation upon which all of our hopes and all of our dreams and all of our everything is built. Well, Jesus gave them the foundation that they wanted and they needed. But here's the question: do you think they should have believed Mary when she came and said, "I have seen the Lord"? Well, of course they should have. Thomas believed the other disciples when they said, "We have seen the Lord"? Of course he should have. But should we, that's me and you, believe the words of Mary? Should we, that means you and I, believe the words of the disciples or Thomas? For they were there. They were eyewitnesses of the foundation. Should we or should we not believe the words of John? Because John comes on the scene and says, "You know, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Hey, but these are written that you may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." But do we believe it? Are we prepared to build our foundation upon Jesus Christ or not? Well, dear friends, there's a lot at stake, and we're not playing cards here. We are staking our futures upon this, our relationships, our finances, our dreams, our eternal life is all anchored in whether Jesus Christ is the Christ or not? Which brings me to the confirmands. I don't know if you knew this or not, but today's kind of a big day. You know, after countless years of listening to me drone on and all the memory work you had to do, sermon notes, sorry about that. I just want to make sure you're listening. But today's important because today you're going to make a confession of faith. Today you're going to be just like the disciples and even Mary and Thomas. You're going to see the foundation, which is Christ, and you'll stand and say, I have seen the Lord. I believe I am putting my confidence in Christ my Savior. Right? I'm going to give you a preview. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the Scriptures, and as you've learned to know it through the small catechism to be faithful and true? You would say, I do. Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? See, that's a challenge. Not only hear it, but you got to receive the Lord's Supper. And where do you do that at? Here. Or in a church. And your answer is, I do by the grace of God. In other words, Pastor, with all my heart, I want to, but it's only God's grace that's going to get me there. Here's the next one. Listen, this is a tough one. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? There it is. You are saying, I am putting my trust in this foundation because if I walk away from it, I know I lose my eternal salvation. And here's the last one. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than to fall away from it? Today is a big day for you. Today is that day when you move from baptized members to baptized and confirmed members. Today's the first day you're going to take the Lord's Supper when Jesus says, hey, drink this. This is my body. This is my, just like Thomas, touch this, but drink this, eat this. This is my body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Today is a huge day for you. Are you ready? Are you awake? But what about the rest of us? It's been a couple decades since I've been confirmed. But it still applies to us today. Today's a big day because when we gather around God's Word and His sacraments, we're making that confession. I believe in this foundation. I am anchoring my future to this foundation, which is Jesus Christ, the church's only foundation. But the question we got to ask is, did Jesus really do the signs? Did He rise from the dead for our justification? Is the bread and the wine upon that altar under which is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, is it efficacious not only to forgive our sins but to strengthen our faith as we make our way through the valley of the shadow of death? Is it enough for you? Do you believe it? Well, Jesus wanted us to know the answer, so He appeared to Mary. Remember, she said, I'd seen the Lord. And then He appeared to the disciples minus Thomas. And then they said, we have seen the Lord. And then Thomas' confession was just so sweet. My Lord and my God. It stops here, Lord, because I believe that You have risen from the dead. I believe that You have victory over the grave. But here's the core. How firm is this foundation? Dear friends, it is strong enough to anchor all of your hopes and your dreams to. Jesus Christ is that strong and firm foundation, not only for today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for decades to come, all the way to eternal life. But Jesus Christ, His Word, is strong enough to anchor our faith in. This is the foundation upon which today you and I confidently build and confidently live. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole